Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome back to the Refresh Radio program. We pray that you are having a great, great day, and that Jesus is leading you in triumphal procession. And so thank you for making this part of your journey. Today we're going to be in John chapter 20. We're going to pick up in verse number 24. But do want to say thank you once again to the folks of Just Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Most of what I know in my interactions with the Andersons from Just Concrete is that they're pretty soft-spoken. But I tell you what, they are very, very good at what they do. And I don't even know how old Brother Anderson is, but he's still active to some degree, and I can tell you a lot of people are fully retired, and he's still out there being very, very active, even during some of the worst conditions. So JITS Concrete, when I say they've got decades of experience, I'm not talking about one or two. I'm not even talking about three like I've got at Merritt Assembly of God. I'm talking closer to, 10 than five. I mean, they've got a lot of experience, and, I don't even know. I think most of their crew has been with them for a long time as well. So if your project could benefit from decades of experience, give the folks at JITS Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and we'll celebrate with you on your completed project. So today we're going to go back to John chapter 20, John chapter 20, verse number 24. Yesterday I told you about Jesus invading the closet of fear and turning it into a place of revival and joy and purpose and peace and joy and receiving the Holy Spirit. But there was one guy that wasn't there, and his name was Thomas. Verse number 24 says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas being with them, Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" So Thomas had missed out on this group revelation, but the people who were inside that meeting went out, and one of the first things that they did was find Thomas and said, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas was there throughout the ministry. Thomas was there throughout the teaching. Thomas was there throughout the prophecies. He was there through the arrest. He was there through the crucifixion. He knew what he had seen. And now his buddies, his friends, his traveling companions are coming to him and said, "I know that we saw him crucified. We know that we saw him buried, but we're here to tell you we have seen him alive. We have seen the Lord. Now, I will tell you that I have watched a lot of documentaries through the years. It's very popular for news sites around Christmas time or Easter to run a special on who is Jesus, and, you know, magazines and all of that. And they almost always go to the same experts and, you know, interview the same people. Because I've watched multiples, and it's like, really, that's the only guy out of all of the preachers in all of America, all of the preachers in all of the world, you can only find one to interview on multiple platforms? I don't think so. I think you went there because of what he would say, not because of what you were interested in. You wanted him to confirm for you. And so this When I watched these, the guy did not believe in the virgin birth. He did not believe that in Jesus' miraculous. He tried to explain away all of the miracles and all of that. And then it would come down to the very end of the program, and he would say there is only one thing that makes sense for the disciples' behavior after Jesus died, and that was if Jesus was resurrected. So even though he rejected every other supernatural point of activity, he embraced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you that I'm very thankful for the resurrection. It gives me confidence and hope that there is a resurrection for those who have died in Christ, that we're going to be with him forever. It also assures me that Jesus knows what he's talking about. And so if Jesus has told me, and he has, that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, then I need to be listening to him, because we're going to spend an eternity in one place or the other. So they come back to Thomas, and they said, "We have seen the Lord. He's resurrected." And Thomas says to them, "Unless I see it." You know, there's a saying that my kids introduced me to, and that is, if there aren't pictures, it didn't happen. If there's no pictures, it didn't happen. Well, I want you to know that that's not always the case. You know, there was a guy at a golf tournament here. I think it was, let's see, that was back in May, I believe it was. And he became famous because of a picture that was taken on the tee of the PGA, I believe it was. And the reason that he was famous was because he didn't have a camera in his hand. He was the only one that didn't have his phone out taking a picture. And he said, "I was just enjoying the moment." Now, I'm not a fan of what he did have in his hand, but he was relishing the moment. He wasn't taking a picture. He was making a memory. And he became famous for not taking a picture. Thomas said, "Look, you all don't have pictures, but I tell you what, I know what I've seen. I saw him die. I saw him buried. And unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." I want you to see that he's looking for a personal encounter himself. He doesn't want to be left out. I don't want to be left out. I remember going to a revival when I was in Bible college, and it went, you know, there was like one wave of the presence of the Lord, and then there was another wave of the presence of the Lord. And I'd never been in a service with more than two waves of the presence of the Lord. So I said, "Well, this is going to be winding down." And so I checked out, only to find out that the presence of the Lord just kept sweeping in like a regular wave for much of the night until the wee hours of the morning. And I got up and I said, "I don't ever want to miss anything like that again, just because I've got class the next day." And Thomas said, "I wasn't there when you all saw him, But unless I see him, unless I put my fingers into the nail prints and my hand into his side, I will not believe. Not unable to believe. He was making a statement of will. It was his choice that he was not going to believe until he had tangibly touched the Lord. And so Jesus wasn't, you know, physically present at that point in time. So 8 days later, the disciples were again meeting where they were before. This time, Thomas was with them. And the first time, if you remember the story with Jesus and his communication with Mary, he said, make sure you tell Peter. This time, Jesus enters the room and he comes to Thomas and greets them the same way that they greeted him. We talked about peace to you. We talked about that on yesterday's program. I don't know how many times Jesus has to declare peace over your life until you walk in it, but he speaks it on a daily basis. And so I pray that you walk in the peace of God today. It says, and then he turned his attention to Thomas, and he said to Thomas, okay, come on, reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here and put it into my side. Now, I will tell you that when I was studying this and getting ready to come to the studio, I picked up on something that I had never really focused on before, and that was, he said, reach your hand into my side. And all of a sudden, it wasn't just the depth of the spear strike that had pierced his heart and the sack around his heart, but I saw that there must have been substantial size to that spear as well, if it created an opening that you could stick your hand into. I made a statement several months ago when I was preaching, and it said, it was something like this: people overestimate how much adversity they are willing to go through. There are a lot of people who say, well, you know, if I don't make the rapture, if I miss out on the rapture, I'll just stand my ground and I'll just acknowledge Jesus at every turn, and I will not give in to. And I said, that's not fact. If you will not stand up for Jesus when times are easy, you will not stand up for Jesus when times are hard and your life is on the line. I said, most people think that they're really good at handling adversity, but most of us can't handle a spiritual hangnail. And I remember somebody, chuckling about that. And I tell you, here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, my thumbnail just split. I don't know why. I don't know if I caught it on something or what, but it just split. And it wasn't right on the edge. It was into the nail a little bit. And it was getting bigger. It's getting deeper. And so I said, I got to get that out of there. And so I just kind of peeled it back, and it was attached down in there. And I tell you what, that thumb stayed swollen and sore to the touch for weeks. I can't imagine the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through to make salvation possible for us. They had to invent a word to describe the pain that was experienced through a death on the cross, and that word is excruciating. We use it a lot of times when it is pain that is very, very intense, but literally the word describes the level of pain that a crucified person would experience. So Jesus' pain level to purchase your salvation and my salvation was very, very high. After he says, put your hands into my side, in other words, Jesus knew what Thomas' position was, even though Thomas had not spoken that directly to him. And he tells Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Where Thomas said, I am not going to believe. I make a choice not to believe unless, you know, I experience something myself. Here, Jesus describes believing and unbelieving not as a choice, but as a state of being. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So we make a decision on the type of being that we are going to be. You know, I've heard it said we are human beings, not human doings. We are redeemed to be holy. God says, be holy even as I am holy. Be fruitful. There's a whole bunch of B's that go on in the Word of God. And so I pray that you'll take a look at those. Thomas didn't have to reach his hand in. He recognized the nail prints, and he recognized the spear print, and he just cries out, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Do you remember when we went through the Lord's Prayer? Jesus taught them to pray, our Father. He said, he's my Father, but he's also your Father. I believe that we need to believe, or that we need to move beyond just believing in God to having a personal relationship with God. And aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't give up on us when there's wavers in the world? By the way, I will tell you this. Thomas died a martyr's death. Thomas died a martyr's death. We talk about his doubt, but if you read the other Gospels, it was not just Thomas that doubted. It was not just Thomas that had unbelief, but the others doubted. The others were rebuked by Jesus for their unbelief as well. And so it is a state of being. And Jesus, when Thomas says, my Lord and my God, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So I don't know where your level of faith activates. You know, in Missouri, it's called the Show Me State. I'm not going to believe anything unless you show me. There are some people who don't believe it unless they see a picture, and now it can be photoshopped. And, you know, the technology has come along to such a degree that they can manipulate voices and images and create false visual and audio evidence. They're called deep fakes. But I do pray that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. But the thing that we have going on is we don't have his physical body to go to. It's ascended to the Father. We don't have the opportunity to go to a location, a geographical location, and have a one-on-one encounter with Jesus so that we could come out and say, man, I believe. Thomas said that he would not activate his faith and his belief until he saw it with his own eyes. What is your threshold? What is your threshold? I want to be the type of person that walks in a relationship with Jesus, and when Jesus says it, it's settled. A lot of people used to say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. One step too many. Or maybe I should say it is, those three statements are out of order. God said it, that's settled, I believe it. Okay, it's settled because God said it, and I want to make sure that I believe it. Jesus here says that there is a higher degree of faith than faith that you have seen. You know, Paul would write, we live by faith, not by sight. So there's a higher degree of faith, and that is that you put your full faith and trust in the reality that Jesus has spoken about simply because Jesus said it. So it says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That word brings about a perspective of happiness. The word blessed, it means a person who is in positive circumstances simply because he has believed without having the tangible encounter that Thomas had had. That's where all of us are. You know, a lot of people want to lower the bar. I just want to say, God, I want you to increase my faith in you. Let's look at verse 30 and 31, because 30 and 31 are the purpose of why the Gospel of John was written. You know, a lot of times you can, when I was in Bible college, they said, okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to tell people what you're going to tell them. I need you to tell them, and then I need you to tell them what you told them. And so in just about in every book, you can find a statement that defines the purpose of why that book is there. So you'd find that in the Gospel of Luke. You'd find it in the Gospel of Acts. You'd find it in the book of Revelation. I think there are a couple of purpose statements about the book of Revelation. One of them is that it's the testimony of Jesus. So it is not to glorify the activities of the Antichrist, not to glorify the activities of Satan or the false prophet, none of those things. It's not about that. The book of Revelation is the book about Jesus and his sovereignty and his power and his victory. It's about his lordship over the church, his lordship over time, and his lordship over Satan. It's about the testimony of Jesus. And I will tell you this, that there is a blessing that is attached to reading the book of Revelation, and a lot of Christians deprive themselves of that blessing because they say, well, I don't understand it, and so I'm not going to read it. So I want to encourage you, go back and read it. Go back and read it. So a lady in my church, she gave me a book that was written by a pastor having to do with the book of Revelation. And that weekend I was given three books to read, three books. I've made it through two of them. I made it through one of them. I'm going through that one a second time. I'm still working my way through the one about Revelation. But the other thing about the book of Revelation is it is to tell us about the things that were, the things that are to come, and the things that are. And so those things, it helps us to understand the timing of things. And so I always, whenever I look at the book of Revelation, I always put it into those three categories. Okay, is this something that was, something that is, or something that is to come? And what does Jesus have to say about this situation? So here in the Gospel of John, we see this statement that begins with a purpose. We may end up carrying this over into tomorrow. Truly, Jesus did many other things, or many other signs, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So I will tell you that the Gospel of John is not an exhaustive list of every miraculous activity that Jesus ever did. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose wasn't to say this was miracle number one, miracle number two, this was the last miracle. This was, it wasn't about any of that. Everything that Jesus did in the sign, or many of the things that he did in the presence of his disciples, were written in the book of John for this purpose, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Okay? He said, I didn't give you the whole list. There's a place where it says that if the everything that Jesus did, let me just read it for you. Verse number 25 of John chapter 21. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if there were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Okay? So there's lots of things that he did. He said, I just gave you a little snapshot because I want you to believe. The disciples were filled with fear, and Jesus appeared to them and transformed who they were. Thomas said, I won't believe until I see him. John said, there's a greater blessing for those who have not seen and yet still believe. I just want to give you a small little glimpse, and I've written them out here for you so that you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So if you're struggling with your faith, do this. Start with the Gospel of John. Anytime somebody says, where should I start reading? I say, start with the Gospel of John. Now, I have reasons for it. The clock is ticking here, so I'm not going to be able to explain those reasons. But I encourage you, if you're struggling with your faith or just beginning your journey of faith, start with the Gospel of John, and you will find that you are believing in Jesus more and more each day. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Crowned with glory now, the Savior.